How to Help Your Pastor. Audiobook by Ashish Raichur. Introduction. With the desire to build a strong church by raising strong people in it, I share the message, How to Help Your Pastor. I believe you will understand the motivation of my heart in doing so. The message presented in this book is nothing personal against anybody. If I were to make any personal clarifications with anyone, I would do so one-to-one and not through a book. Those of us who are parents know that while raising children, there are times when we bring out the spanker, although we most often shower them with love. This is not because we hate our children, but because we want to raise them up to be strong people. Likewise, when we want to raise strong people in the church, we need to teach them what they are supposed to do in the house of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Paul writes to Timothy telling him that there is a proper way to conduct oneself in the local church. In other words, Paul says there is a proper way to behave in the house of God, and believers need to be taught that. Unfortunately, there is not much teaching on this subject, and everyone tends to do what they think is right. People in the church do whatever is on their minds and end up pulling the church in different directions, and thus the church goes nowhere. If each one does what he or she thinks is right, we will have a house full of chaos and confusion. But God is not the author of confusion. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. This scripture does not contain a request or a suggestion, but a plea or urge that comes by the authority of God Himself. Here is what the Lord commands for the local church through Apostle Paul. You all speak the same thing. It may seem like it is impossible. Let there be no division, splits, or gaps among you. You be perfectly joined together in complete agreement. You all be of the same mind and understanding. You all be of the same resolve, purpose, and opinion. When we consider the Corinthian church, we see that it was a typical church like any of our churches today. There were a lot of things that were wrong. There were some people who said they belonged to Apollos, while certain others said they belonged to Paul. There were varied opinions about marriage, foods offered to idols, speaking in tongues, gifts of the Spirit, and so on. The most serious offense was that they had their breakfast at the communion table, not stopping with a small piece of bread or a small cup of wine, but wanting the whole loaf and a huge gallon. Paul had to admonish them for their behavior and instruct them on the right way to conduct themselves, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 33. Paul is thus writing to people with diverse backgrounds, instructing them to speak the same thing, have no divisions among themselves, to be perfectly joined together, and to be of the same mind, understanding, opinion, and resolve. I believe that if the Lord commands us to do something, then it is possible, because the Lord would not command us to do something that we are unable to do. If He were to do that, it would amount to teasing. It is possible for us to be the kind of church that Paul is talking about, and that is what every pastor wants for his church. Chapter 1. Objectives of the pastor and church staff. Before we go on to discuss how you can help your pastor, let us first understand what the objectives of a pastor and the church staff are. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. As shepherds after God's own heart, pastors are meant to feed God's people with spiritual knowledge and understanding from the written Word of God, and not from any other source. The pastor is supposed to give an understanding that comes from the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This passage from the Scripture describes the job of a pastor and those involved in ministering the Word. The pastor is not meant to do the work of the ministry you are supposed to. You are a minister. The person in church who sits next to you is the one, along with you, who is going to do the work of the ministry, not the pastor, not the teacher, not the evangelist, not the prophet, and not the apostle, for the role of the five-fold ministry is to equip the saints, so that they can do the work of the ministry. The pastor's job is actually very easy, it is only to equip you. You are the one who is going to carry out the job. You are not just a church member, but also a minister. You cannot afford to have a church member mentality. You are a minister of the Almighty God, and you are here to be equipped to do the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ till we all come to the unity of the faith, the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. So our responsibility as pastor and church staff is to equip the saints to reach the fullness of Christ, so that the saints can do the work of the ministry. God desires every believer to be a minister in His kingdom. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect, in Greek, teleos, in Christ Jesus. The reason pastors preach and teach is not to entertain, but to present believers perfect in Christ. The Greek word used in the Scripture is teleos, a full-grown man. Our goal is to bring every believer to a place of maturity, to be fully grown in Christ. We welcome babies in Christ, but we do not want them to remain that way. The pastor's responsibility is to present every person mature in Christ. If we fail to do that, we would be failing in our call as pastors and leaders in the church. Things to be accomplished in each believer's life. There are four things that pastors should desire to see accomplished in each believer's life. They should desire to see growth and development in the Word. Pastors should want to see every person in the church become strong. The Word. The Spirit. Pastors should want to see every person in the church become strong in the Spirit. Christ-like character. Pastors should want to see every person in the church develop Christ-like character. Ministry. Pastors should want to see every person equipped for ministry. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Understand the standard to which we are called as pastors and ministers of God. According to Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, if we please men, we cannot be servants of God. As pastors, we are not here to make people happy. So if you have come to church to be made happy, you have come to the wrong place, because if we only please men, we cannot be servants of God. Our goal is to build you, not merely make you happy. But in the process, you may get happy, which is only a byproduct. Also, you might begin to love the pastor and the congregation, but those are not the objectives. Our objective is to present you complete in Christ. The day we become man-pleasers, we cease to be servants of God. Chapter 2. How to help your pastor. The following instructions apply not only for the pastor, but also for all the church staff who serve you. Help guard your pastor's testimony. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. Titus chapter 1, verses 6-7. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. For a bishop must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money. According to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, a spiritual overseer must be blameless. And the Scripture continues to state all the other requirements necessary to be a man or woman of God. The number one requirement that God asks of a spiritual leader is that he must be blameless, which means that nobody should be able to point a finger at him and accuse him. The leader's testimony must be perfect. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3-4. We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses. Not giving offense in anything is the standard to which God has called pastors and church staff. We need to live a blameless life. We must conduct the ministry in such a way that we give no offense in anything, so that our ministry cannot be blamed. And we need your help to do this. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. Let us consider some instances where you can help guard the pastor's testimony. If you are a lady, please meet your pastor in his office when everyone else is present. Do not ask to meet with your pastor at odd places and at odd times. You may have a very genuine need, but do not inconvenience your pastor by asking him to meet you at odd places. Consider how this will appear to an onlooker. The pastor may be at a public meeting place counseling a lady over a cup of coffee. But if people who know the pastor happen to see this, they may wonder what the pastor of a church, who is married and has children, is doing alone with another lady. Assume that the counseling session goes on for an extended period. Then the pastor's testimony would be further at stake. Irrespective of how serious your problem is, it would be proper to meet your pastor in his office. Otherwise, you may be destroying the testimony of a man of God. If you are a lady, it would always be better to get help from a lady minister or leader in the church. Do not say or claim something about the pastor or the church that you are not 100% sure about. If you are not totally sure of what you are going to say, then do not say it. For instance, if your pastor had been living in the USA and has returned to India, do not assume that there are dollars coming from there to fund the ministry. Be certain of the facts before making any claims. In the case of our church, 99% of the money used is from India, through the tithes, offerings, and contributions of our church. There are no other churches from any other part of the world that are supporting us. Please do not exaggerate what your pastor or church is doing. For instance, if your church is running a children's home that is taking care of 8 children, do not exaggerate and say, "The church is running a huge orphanage with many children." Help guard your pastor's time. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15-16. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 tells us to walk redeeming the time, capturing every minute that is available and putting it to good use. Time is at a premium and is very important for all of us. In our church, our staff is required to work at least 40 hours each week. You can help the pastor and the church staff by guarding their time. Please meet the pastor during regular office hours. If the pastor is in his office between 8:30 a.m. and 6:30 p.m., do not request him to stay on till 7:30 p.m., so that it will be convenient for you to finish your work and meet him. Sometimes pastors do stay on and meet people, but please realize that they also have families to go back to. Remember, when you need to meet a doctor, you usually stick to the appointment given by the doctor and might even take a day off to meet with him. Treat your pastor with the same consideration. If you have a spiritual need, and it is serious enough for you to go and meet your pastor, you may as well take the day off or make necessary adjustments so that you do not keep the pastor waiting. If you have an idea, do not ask your pastor to carry it out. Your pastor may be open to ideas and suggestions, but if you have an idea for a ministry, do not expect your pastor to carry out your ideas. Often people come to the pastor with ideas and insist that God is leading the pastor to start a particular ministry. If you have a strong stirring in your heart and are sure that God wants you to start something, you must take the initiative to do so, with the pastor's permission, of course. Please do not ask your pastor to do book reviews. For all you know, he may have books at home that he has not read because he does not have the time for them. Please do not ask your pastor to do what other businesses specialize in doing, for instance matchmaking, real estate, and so on. If you are relocating to a place, do not write to the pastor of the local church asking him to help you find a place for you. Even though pastors are there to serve you, expecting them to find you accommodation would be taking it too far. Do not pressurize your pastor to find a suitable spouse for you. If there is someone whom the pastor thinks is suitable, he may suggest the person, but do not put that pressure on the pastor. Help guard your pastor's family. Matthew chapter 26, verse 31, quoted from Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.'" If the enemy can strike the shepherd, he can scatter the sheep. Most people think that ministry is very glamorous, probably because the pastor gets to preach for 50 minutes every Sunday, and the congregation listens to him. He may get to author many books, sell many tapes and CDs of his messages. Understand that ministers of God who lead you at the forefront of ministry are the prime targets for intense satanic attacks. Satan's intent is to knock the shepherd and thereby destroy the sheep. Pastors and ministers of God go through more intense conflicts than the average believer. So one of the greatest gifts you can give your pastor and the ministers who serve you is to pray for them and their families regularly. They need your prayers. Stand guard around them. Put a shield around them through your prayers. Tell the devil, "If you want to get that arrow on my pastor, you have to first go past me. I am standing here." If there is a whole church of people praying for the pastor, the ministers who serve them, and their families, there will be a strong church, because the leaders are going to be well protected and there will be nothing that the devil can do to strike the shepherd. Respect and work with delegated leadership. Your pastor cannot do everything. Therefore, the responsibility of various ministries has been delegated to several other leaders. The best thing you can do is to respect those leaders, cooperate, and work with them. You will help the pastor if you respect the delegated leadership that has been placed in the church. For instance, there may be a member care pastor, children's church pastor, cell pastor, youth pastor, worship team leader, and so on. If you have a concern that needs to be addressed, do not bypass the leader in that area of ministry and try to reach your pastor directly. Honor those who have been appointed as leaders of various ministries. Bring up issues directly with them and allow them to handle it. Do not think that a particular ministry leader does not have the experience. When you do not give them the opportunity to solve problems, you are robbing them of the very experience that they need. Remember that the pastor has full confidence in the ministry leaders and will hear them before he hears you. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, "You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages." Do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. Flow with the call and vision of the church. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Mark chapter 3, verse 25. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Everyone who is part of a local church should flow with the vision and call that God has placed on the church. Each local church will have a specific call, and every member must learn to flow with that call. For instance, if being a cell church is the vision of a local church, the members cannot say that they do not like cell groups and not become a part of any cell group. It is what the church is doing corporately, and everyone should get involved. As God unfolds his plan for a church, he will birth new things that he desires for them to do. So be supportive of the pastor and ministry leaders. Do not resist the changes and new things that God leads the church into. Just flow together with the body, moving in the same direction and backing the leaders. When you visit a church, you may have a preconceived idea of how that church ought to be. That idea may hinder you from flowing with the vision of the church. So you need to lay aside your personal agendas and flow where the church is heading. Please do not date the church. Do not be someone who goes to church as long as you get something, as long as you are kept happy. The day the church makes you unhappy should not be the day you decide to leave and go elsewhere. Do not just look for what you can receive. Give as much as you receive, if not more. Jesus said that it was more blessed to give than to receive, Acts chapter 20, verse 35. You will receive from the church knowledge and understanding, and you will be matured and brought to a place where you are fully grown in Christ. Flow with the faith and teaching of the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. The faith and teaching of a church as expressed in the statement of faith are usually written out before the church is established. The statement of faith of a church is non-negotiable and not open for discussion. Please read and understand the faith and teaching of the church before you decide to become part of the church. Once you become part of a local church, do not make any attempt to change the statement of faith. If you are not in agreement with the faith and teaching of the church, you are free to do either one of these: learn and grow with the church or find another church. There is no compulsion to stay. Please keep personal convictions that are not in agreement with the faith and teaching of the church personal. For instance, if the church is in agreement with the biblical principles of baptism of the Holy Spirit, praying in other tongues, divine healing, and so on, the congregation is expected to be in agreement. Please do not use the church to promote your personal convictions that are not in agreement with the faith and teaching of the church. Also, please do not try to convince the pastor and other ministry leaders to line up with your ideas by sending them letters, emails, and books that are contrary to the statement of faith. Become a minister. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13 says that the five-fold ministry is given to equip every saint to do the work of the ministry. The desire of the pastor is to see every believer become a minister of God. It may take some time for you to get there, but as pastors and leaders, we want you to get there. We want you to come to a place where you will start serving God in some capacity. Each one of you has been given gifts, talents, and abilities. There are treasures that God has put in you. He has invested things in you that He wants you to use for His kingdom. The pastor would want to see that potential come out in you. Serve God and become a minister of God. It is all right for you to sit on the pew for a little while, but once the pew gets hot, please jump out of it. God has a specific place for you in the body of Christ. Find your place and carry out your God-appointed function in the body. You are not just a church member, you are a minister of God. Begin to function in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. As you begin to minister, there are certain guidelines to be followed. First, understand the importance of character above gifting. The pastor will look for character before he releases the gift, because you need the character that goes along with it. For instance, if you have a particular gift, the pastor will give you the opportunity to use the gift and will at the same time watch your character. If the character is trustworthy, the pastor will give more room to use your gift. Suppose the character is not developed yet, he may keep you there for a while, until maybe a personal habit, issue, hang up, or a bad attitude is overcome. The pastor is unlikely to promote you immediately on day one. You need the character that will sustain you once you have reached the desired position, otherwise you may hurt yourself in the process and a lot of other people. Build trust. You need to earn the right to be trusted by your pastor. Do not draw attention to yourself. Some people, when entrusted with ministry responsibility in the house of God, go to great lengths to become the popular man or woman among other believers. This stems from a desire for attention and really ends up drawing people to self rather than pointing them to the Lord. So make sure that as you minister, people are drawn not to you but to the Lord. Manifest your ministry first, and then let people recognize your calling. Do not go about proclaiming your calling, "I am an apostle," without manifesting the corresponding ministry. Think how ridiculous it would appear if your pastor went about calling himself a pastor even without having a congregation. Just do what you are called to do, and your calling and ministry will become evident. Let people see the fruit and then come to the recognition of what kind of tree you are. Do not push yourself into the forefront. Wait to be invited. Jesus said, when we go to a big feast, we must sit in the last seat and let the host come and invite us to come forward. That is more honorable. Assume you have a wonderful voice and have a great ability to play some musical instrument. Do not just go and tell the worship leader what a great musician you are and that you ought to be playing. Instead, just state your abilities and wait to be invited to play or lead worship. Meanwhile, you may have to do an audition and come regularly for practice before you start playing. Stay accountable to your pastor and the leadership. Follow instructions and stay aligned with the flow of things. Do not allow your zeal to cause you to become disruptive to what the Lord is leading the church to do. Look to God for your reward. Many people expect their reward to come from the pastor in the form of recognition from the pulpit or some special form of applause. While all this is possible, do not get disappointed or bitter if it does not happen. You serve the Lord and your reward comes from Him. Demonstrate commitment. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Faithfulness is more important than ability. The pastor is looking for faithful people. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 20. When you take up a responsibility, make sure you are faithful at it. For instance, if you have committed to come 30 minutes early every Sunday and clean the church premises, please make sure you do that every Sunday. Be committed and dependable. Even if you are not paid to do the task, but are merely a volunteer, be a faithful volunteer. The pastor understands that there will be unexpected things that come up that will make it impossible for you to help. If you are unable to fulfill it, make sure you communicate that as early as possible. Enjoy what you do. A person doing things grudgingly is not very pleasant. If you do not enjoy doing something, it would be better if you do not do it. Do it to the Lord, not for the pastor. Remember, you are not to do anything just to please your pastor, do it for the Lord. Pursue excellence. Whatever you do, do it well. Give God your very best. Very often we think, after all, I am volunteering. I am just doing it for ministry. Let that not be your attitude. When you are doing something for the Lord, do it well and do it to the best of your God-given ability. God is worthy of the very best you have. Be a kingdom builder. When you serve, remind yourself that this is not about serving a particular local church, but about building the kingdom of God. Remember that you are doing this for the King of Kings, although you may be part of a local church. You are doing this to build His kingdom. Look beyond the name of the local church that you are serving, for it is just a name. Lay selfishness and self-centeredness aside. Do not do anything to promote your local church. Remember that you are placed there specifically to promote the kingdom of God. Always glorify Christ. Promote unity among ministers, other ministries, and churches. Do not be afraid to fellowship with believers from other churches. Be a kingdom builder. Think in terms of the kingdom of God. Ask yourself what you can do to build the kingdom of God and how to work across churches and ministries so that Christ can be glorified in our midst. Chapter 3. Your pastor is human. Sometimes people forget that their pastor is human too, a man of like passions as them. And he enjoys tasty food too. Here are some practical instructions. Do not think too highly of a man. Some people treat their pastor like a Christian superstar and think their pastor is Superman. Here is the plain truth. Your pastor is not a superstar and is not a Superman, so please do not anoint him with superstardom. It is ungodly and unhealthy to think too highly of a man. Honor and respect God, appointed leadership, but never give undue importance to a man. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21. Therefore let no one boast in men. For all things are yours. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. Do not become dependent on your pastor. You need to grow up spiritually and learn to walk alone with the Lord. While your pastor is there to help you, each believer is to develop a personal relationship with the Lord. Learn to read, study, and feed on the Word of God yourself. Learn to pray and have faith in God yourself. Grow up. Graduate out of the spiritual nursery and become a spiritual father or mother who can help nurture others in the faith. Your anointing comes from God. While it is true that spiritual impartation takes place from and through anointed leadership, remember that ultimately your anointing comes from God. It is God who anoints. You do not have an exact replica of your pastor's anointing. You will have to receive and develop your own gifting and anointing from God. The anointing and mantle that is on your pastor and on your local church can enhance what you receive from the Lord. But ultimately your anointing depends on your walk before God. John chapter 3, verse 27. John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven." 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. Do not be too quick to judge. Because of undue or unrealistic expectations, people can become very critical and turn their backs very easily on their pastors if they make mistakes or fail to meet their expectations in any way. At All People's Church, I have been blessed to have a congregation of people who are very supportive and extremely understanding. However, as a reminder, I state this here, do not be too quick to judge your pastor. Your pastor, like you, is still a work in progress, a building still under construction. So please excuse the mess and please be patient. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. This audiobook has been produced and distributed by All People's Church and World Outreach, Bangalore, India. For free books and audiobooks, please visit apcwo.org/books. For free teaching sermons, please visit apcwo.org/sermons. Unless otherwise indicated, all scripture references are from the New King James Version of the Holy Bible. Used with permission. All free resources from All People's Church may be shared and distributed freely.